Welcome to What's So Great About It, the podcast that tears the pages out of the book of life to find out what really makes Tippertit Talk so great. My name's Terry.
My name's Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
Very, very well. And you?
I doing well.
Good to hear it.
What was that?
I'm popping my can of Monster.
No, it's as if you made that plant move with the force of your pop.
Hey, I'd like to get a good snap. Yeah, sorry, go
before
on.
We start, I just want to say something.
Yeah?
I'm sorry about the balls. It was a lucky shot.
You what?
The lucky shot, okay?
Yeah, I get you. Yeah. I get you. What's that a reference to,
it's
Terry?
It's a vague and oblique reference to the fact that we'll be covering John Carpenter's In the Mouth of Madness as part of our Movies Under 100 Minutes miniseries. Before we get into any of that, let's just wrap.
Let's shoot the shit. Hey, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Have you heard the new Beatles song?
You know what? It was on my list of things to listen to today, and ooh, I never did. A more organized podcast would maybe have text one another.
Oh, no, it's my fault.
No, just in general.
Yeah, I wasn't planning on talking about it. But
you did it anyway.
Well, I have something to say on it.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to say things.
Is it? It's not AI, right?
No, it's not AI. So what they did was, if you recall, when they were making the anthology in the mid-90s,
mm-hmm,
they did Free as a Bird and they did Real Love.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a third song. But they didn't have the technology at the time to get rid of John's piano and have his vocals be better. But since the Get Back thing on Disney and Peter Jackson invented the technology, they could have his crystal clear audio with no piano in the background.
Now, I did see a picture of them performing together. Didn't like that now.
Oh, so I am not a fan of their song. So what they did was
you don't like the song.
Well, here's the thing. I hadn't actually heard the song before. And as a result of it, I went to hear... I really like John's demo. That's like lovely and kind of haunting and like really nice. Has a lot of heart to it. And what they've turned it into was just this generic, like adding parts that didn't need to be added. And it was kind of like they had attempted it in the mid-90s. So they were able to get George's backing vocals and a bit of his guitar from it. Now in 2023, like Ringo's just kind of doing basic drums over it.
Like me, playing rock band.
Yeah. And Paul's added his vocals and he did like a George style guitar. They weren't in the same room recording it. Like it looked like that in the video.
I did not like the look of the picture in the video. I was like, I don't want this.
They just kind of turned it into like middle of the road. Like, it's all real. It's all their instruments playing together technically at different times.
Why bother?
But yeah, like there's something nice about it. This will be the last Beatles song that has them all four of them playing the instrument. They even went to Giles Martin to bring in some strings. And I just think, like, you know, I don't mind the whole messing with technology stuff because that's what they did anyway back in the day.
Yeah.
John especially. But if nothing else, it made me like the demo song. I would encourage you to listen to Now and Then, the demo song.
Hey,
you know what? I'll play at the end.
Okay, I would encourage you,
please,
to listen to Adam Sandler doing a version of Real Love from your favorite Judd Apatow film, Funny People.
Oh,
he actually does a pretty good version of it. Because he's got a decent voice, Adam Sandler.
Yeah, but it's too, like...
Have you heard it?
No.
It's him as the character, and he, like, hires all these musicians.
Right.
It's like, we still have another hour. He's like, okay, like, that's him being real lonely.
Yeah.
But he's playing real
lonely.
It's a
good song.
It's a good version.
And maybe, I do prefer the demo of that as well.
Maybe listen to both of them and see which one you like best.
What, the Beatles one or Adam Sandler's version?
Yeah, the Beatles one that you don't like. Or...
Well, Real Love, the Beatles version, I like it a bit more than their version of this one. This one's Now and Then.
But just give the Adam Sandler a listen.
I'll give it a listen.
No, you won't give it a listen.
I won't. This is what you say to people who say give it a list. It's like that thing that you tag me in, like, yeah. It's like, oh, put it on the list, but there is no list and I'll never watch it. Yeah. But I went to put on Hubie Halloween last week and turned it off after 60 seconds.
It's a tough one.
I was like,
wait, 60 seconds? So you turned it off when Ben Stiller reprising his role from Happy Gilmore?
All right, a minute and 60 seconds.
It's a big fucking jump.
Huge amount of middle ground. Yeah. I realized it was one of those where it's like, like that stupid voice that he does. And I was just like, oh shit. And it's a real pronounced one in this one where, like, borderline offensive.
And do you remember I did my deep dive on all six delusions of grandeur of writing, like, a big newsletter piece about when I started to write, I'm like, I can't do this. I can't do it.
What did you think of Hubie Halloween?
Low on the list of the six.
Yeah.
Probably second lowest.
What was the lowest?
Ridiculous six.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's bad.
Is it?
It's bad. The best one was maybe Sandy Wexler, which is kind of a funny voice one as well.
Why does he do it? Why does he do it?
Or there's one, the woman
who's,
with Chris,
who's
the woman
asking
Chris
for
Rock
more
is good. The one with Chris Rock is like the week of.
Oh yeah.
Where they're
doesn't
doing,
he have one with Jennifer Aniston that is
Murder Mystery, and they did a sequel. Murder Mystery's not
supposed
bad.
To be all right.
It's not. It's not bad. It's not realistic that they're married.
What is it about Adam Sandler that means he's so successful? That if literally anyone else had made his movies, but they weren't Adam Sandler, they would flop.
He's got the secret sauce. Like,
what is it? Is it that Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison were so good?
Here's what it is. You're rooting for him. He's the ultimate underdog.
Is that it?
Kinda, yeah. Like, you know.
I'd love to get granular on it and see why do I root for Adam Sandler so much?
Because he's a regular guy.
Is he like an average Joe?
He's the richest guy you'll ever meet, but also, probably, you know, you'd see him in a pizzeria eating a slice, you know?
Yeah, true. Yeah.
That's the kind of thing he gives off. And, like, he plays regular guy very well.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it? Yeah.
I mean, I think my favorite performance, apart from Punch Drunk Love, that's my favorite of his.
Mm.
But, like, my favorite performance is actually him doing himself in Funny People. And, like, that movie for me is like 80 minutes of like gold,
mm-hmm,
and then another 50 of like, what are we doing here? Like
most Judd Apatow
Knocked Up. There's no, yeah, very
Knocked
little
Up
fat.
Was very,
on that. Very
Knocked
little
Up was
fat.
Very good, and Pineapple Express is very good.
He didn't direct that. I'm talking about director, directed by Judd
Apatow.
What else
did he direct out of interest?
40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yeah, gets good. A little bit. At the end.
Still, it's up, the upper echelon for him.
Yeah, okay.
He did
first half an hour of that is brilliant.
Pakistan's one of the best lines you'll ever hear. That the waxing scene alone is just funny.
I my favorite thing in it was your man, and we still quote it to this day, and I use it with Kerry all the time. It's like, okay, you're throwing a lot of big words at me right now. Because I don't understand them. I'm gonna take them as disrespect.
Yeah.
Or
I love the bit where he's like you were cheating on your wife. He's like, of course I was. He's like what are you going to do? Put all this stuff up? It's because I'm insecure.
You can't do it.
Great movie. And like, pretty much I'm struggling actually to think.
I am certain that Judd Apatow is a prick, isn't he?
Yeah,
I mean, I have no hard evidence to base that on, but you just know that he's a prick.
Why?
I think I've heard some stories of people like Seth Rogen and stuff talking about.
You kind of split from him, like.
Yeah, and I seen him on Comedians in Cars. I didn't quite like him in that.
I've listened to him on a couple of podcasts. I'm not crazy on him.
I have a feeling that he's a prick. Yeah, we just know. You just know.
There's an interesting. The Superbad commentary that I quote all the time, where it has like eight of them on it, and it's like him, Jonah Hill.
Was that real?
That was real.
So
where he keeps swearing and like he's like, my kid is here,
and he's Jonah like, Hill's like, what's this fucking take your daughter to work day?
Like, whatever, man, it's a fucking crutch. It's a crutch. You can't be funny without swearing. And then like Jonah Hill like leaves.
He leaves. Yeah. Like, Jonah, you really, you know? Or who was it? Judd leaves.
Yeah. Oh, Judd leaves. Yeah.
And I was like that as well. Yeah. It was like, come on, like, what are you actually doing?
Yeah, why are you bringing your child?
I love this? That Jonah Hill doubled down as well. You know what I mean?
But now he's a fucking weirdo asshole.
Is he?
Yeah, like, there was a whole thing with, like, his girlfriend, and he was, like, saying how she's, like, a surfer.
Yeah.
He was, like, dragging her for how provocatively she was dressing at the beach or something like that. Like,
oh really? Yeah. Dragging her public, like,
yeah,
publicly?
Like, well, the texts were like put on Twitter or whatever like that. Like,
oh
yeah. And so it's like, oh, another one cancelled. Because it was like,
what was he saying?
He was basically like slut shaming her, essentially. Oh. Like, there was a picture of,
he's got weird body issues. Yeah, like,
I think he mentioned that in it as well. Like, you know,
I do remember him putting out a post saying, I know people think they're being nice when they say how much weight you've lost or whatever, just commenting on weight. Like, and it was like, things like, I would politely ask you to stop talking about my weight or something. Like, it's not helpful. Or it was something like that. I remember thinking like, oh.
Because they did the picture of like forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah.
And it was like pictures, Jason Segel, Mila Kunis, Russell Brand, Jonah Hill, and who is the other one? Kristen Bell.
Yeah.
So she's kind of off to the side. But it was like, it was just after the whole Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher had like written letters supporting Danny Masterson.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to get him like a lighter sentence. The whole Russell Brand thing had just happened. And then Jonah Hill, it was like somebody's like posting like, Jason, get out of there. Get out of there, Jason.
brilliant. Oh, that's great. Yeah, I seen it at a roast or something where it was like, was it Bill Hader or someone was like, it's like, Jonah, everyone congratulates you on, you know, whatever, like, your career, having a serious career, but no one wants to talk about what an asshole you've become. And you could just see, yeah, like, you
he's
know.
Like, ha, 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 ha. Yeah, yeah.
Hey.
Yeah? Tomorrow's the big day, or it will have been 2 days before you're listening to this.
What is it?
New David Fincher movie on Netflix.
Has it been a year already? Well, who's donating? Who's donating their body to watch whatever this is?
Me.
Okay. Okay, great.
I watched all his movies in anticipation. In fact, I'm wearing a David Fincher t-shirt right now.
Consumer Recreation Services.
From the 1997 film The Game, starring Michael Douglas. You may remember that movie.
Of course.
You don't remember it?
No.
Oh, Andy.
Of course I don't.
Yeah, it's great. But CRS is the company that provides the titular game.
Oh, great use of the word titular. Now, is that... That's obviously a fairly obscure reference.
Yes.
Now, do you still... I already know the answer because I know what my answer would be. Are you still waiting for the day that someone's like, hey, Finchman?
I didn't tell you this. Yeah, the Finchman. I didn't tell you this. A little while ago when I was wearing my Paul Thomas Anderson t-shirt.
Oh, yes.
I was standing at the Lewis. I was coming over here to record and some guy stopped me. He's like, Paul Thomas Anderson? He's like, you like his movies? I was like, he's my favorite director. He's like, cool, man. And then just kept going like, fucking yes.
Just walked into the Lewis.
Oh my God.
That's cool, man. That is so cool.
Oh no, I'm going to be late for podcasting.
Rumor has it he was distracted with a garment worn by a fellow passenger.
He just kept talking about Paul Thomas Anderson.
So what's Fincher done? What's he ever done?
And how about a little movie called Seven?
Okay, yeah.
Fight Club.
What's he done for me lately?
Gone Girl? I mean, Mank was the one you did not like. So I wasn't going to bring it up. Gone Girl, Dragon Tattoo, Social... How about this for a run? What? Dragon Tattoo or Social Network?
Social Network was...
Social Network is one of the most watchable movies you'll ever see. Literally. I remember...
Go on, tell me about The Run.
The Run is Zodiac, Benjamin Button, which is okay. I only watched it the first time.
Haven't seen it.
Pretty good. It's kind of like Forrest Gump.
Okay.
But Brad Pitt plays a little old man baby that gets younger.
Now, when he's a baby, is he a small little old man?
So he's a baby that looks like really old.
Right.
And then as he gets older, he's a small little old man.
He's getting bigger as he's getting younger.
So when he's 16, he looks like 60.
Yeah.
So when he's in his early 20s, he looks to be in his 50s.
Do you know what?
It's a great concept.
I think... That
you
would
stole
be
my idea.
I think that would be a great concept for life in general, right? In that you start off all your early years, you're just learning things anyway. You're just learning how to walk and all this sort of stuff, whatever.
Yeah.
And then you've lived like 40 years and now you've got your youth. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but here, oh, very good. Yeah, here's the thing. So when he's young, when he's a teenager,
yeah,
and he starts having dementia, what then?
So his brain's not reversed.
No,
It's
just the body.
Still though, you've got some good years.
I mean, it's you meet in the middle. You know what I mean? Like
more energy as you get older. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but like,
you start running faster. Hey, I can run. I'm running. My time is much better than it was 10 years ago. You know, I think this could be. They could just. This is very Carol Billiken. I mean, I'm pretty sure he actually had this exact idea.
Fuck that guy too.
What's wrong with Carol Billiken?
I've had it with him.
You've had it with everybody. You're the new me.
No.
Take that back. No, you have a problem with
authority.
Big happy.
He's not happy.
No, I'm more talking about like, who was it we were talking about? You're like, sum up with him. Mr. Beast, The Rock.
Will Smith. You're naming three of like the biggest facades there ever is. Hi, the phony, fakey, fraudy, smiley, happy people. It's like, what's going on behind that? What's going on behind that fake smile you're throwing at me there?
Well, we knew that about. Well, Will Smith, we can tick off the list.
The Rock totally is.
You know, yeah, he probably is. He's probably not as rocky as he is. I think Mr. Beast is great.
Yeah, Andy, it's gonna come out.
He's not putting himself out there as a, you know, happy or whatever.
Every thumbnail you see of Mr. Beast is like,
Do you know why that is? Because I've studied it. Well, right. I haven't studied it, but other people have. Thumbnails where he has his mouth open get more views than thumbnails with his mouth closed. And I was putting up a YouTube video only yesterday, and I was trying to
Proving my point.
And I was trying to get a still shot. I'm just going to keep talking. I was trying to get a still shot from when I was talking. I was like, no, I got to get a mouth open shot because that'll get more engagement.
Did it?
Well, not really. Well, who's to tell what it would have got if I had a closed mouth on it? It would have taken.
I mean, at least I like to. You prove my point that like a fake picture paints, you know, oh, he's a nice guy, you know.
Yeah, but you can't use YouTube thumbnails to base that off.
I don't like them. Okay, something about him that's going to be like, yeah, that village he built for us all to come live in. Turns out
he wants us to call him God. And
turns out
doesn't pay us much
if we don't literally pray on the mat for 2 hours every day. We don't get the electricity we need. Something like that, like,
yeah, true.
He's like, hey, I notice your mat is only at 1:30. I just need a bit 30 more minutes of pray time before you can have a shower.
I don't think he has that compound thing though.
Isn't he building a village? He's building like a town for his workers.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Anyway, The Killer. Yeah, tomorrow, well, Netflix. Michael Fassbender. Yeah, it's coming straight to Netflix.
Ooh.
It's in cinemas at the moment. But Michael Fassbender's back.
Was he ever gone?
Yeah, he was gone. He went through. You talk about a good run that Fincher was on. Fassbender, I was like, who's looking out for you, Michael? Like, your agents are picking
dog
stinker
shit
after stinker after stinker. That's why he hasn't been in a movie in, you know, 5 years.
Really?
Yeah.
He strikes me as someone who would have no problem with Full Frontal.
Yeah, he played the movie called Shame, where he played a sex addict, and like,
there we go.
It's like Full Frontal, gay sex.
Oh.
Like, it's like literally like, I'm addicted. Like, he's trying to quit, but like, the whole thing, Shame. It's like,
see it? You see it happening in the movie?
It's pretty graphic.
Oh. Well, I mean, it's gay sex.
I can't remember if the gay sex is explicit, but there's lots of bits in it where you're like, all right, like, he doesn't shy away, and the director doesn't shy away from it. Like,
You know, if you're. Let's say you're watching something with Faye, and there's like a sex scene in it.
Very rare these days, fucking movies, huh?
It's true, right?
Yeah. So very chaste.
A very rare.
Fucking chaste world we're living in.
Very rare to have. But in the past or whatever, like, would someone normally make a funny comment, or someone be like, whoa, or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, maybe like...
or like, hello, yeah, or, you know, something like that.
Or might be like, sort of like, well, that's not realistic.
Yeah, I was only watching something yesterday, and where it's like two people were riding while standing up in the kitchen, and it looked so fake, and it was just, I think it was on Gogglebox or something, they were watching it, whatever, and everyone was just like, how's that happening then? You know, like, the physics of it just don't add up.
Yeah.
But anyway, so this movie, you're,
can't wait.
Are you going to be watching it tomorrow?
Yes. But here's something I never do, because I'm so excited. I sent Faye like a Google Calendar invite to be like, nice. Friday night movie. So she can't wiggle her way out of it either. I fucking can't wait, man.
How long is it?
I think it's like under two.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh,
some of these movies are long, but like, Social Network's two on the button, I think.
Yeah.
159.
That's some change.
Fucking rips, like. Beautiful. Great director.
Okay, well.
Speaking of great directors, hey, our movie this week is by the master of horror, John Carpenter.
Shall we get into it?
Please.
This one will drive you absolutely mad.
The riots began because the stores could not meet the demand of Sutter Kane's novel, In the Mouth of Madness.
Kane disappeared 2 months ago without a trace.
Isn't the guy that writes horror books?
You can forget about Stephen King. Kane outsells them all. I need to know if he's alive or dead, and I need that book.
It's a setup. I just have to work out how it's set up.
Kane's writing has been known to have an effect on his readers.
See this? It's a map.
This whole thing has been staged.
You just get out.
This is not reality.
It's all happening for real, Trent.
That was, of course, from the trailer for 1994's... Give me 1 second.
Well, this is so unprofessional. Oh, no! I forgot my notes!
I need my pad!
Wait, you don't know it off the top of the dome?
No, I don't.
I can tell you the budget off the top of my dome. All right. That was, of course, the trailer for 1994 In the Mouth of Madness by director John Carpenter. Andy,
yes.
Want to hear some boyf?
Please.
Care to guess the budget?
I will say 94, the budget was 7 million.
8 million.
Ba-boom!
There you go.
Joke on that, baby! Shooter!
He's back. Box office opening.
Opening weekend.
Now, I will tell you.
One of these bollocks.
No, they released it in February.
What's that? What's that got to do with it?
Okay, just I thought I'd tell you.
3.5 million.
3.4 million! February is notorious dumping ground for movies.
Really?
Yeah. Why
did they release it in February then?
Because they had another big horror movie coming out, or had just come out the previous year. Wes Craven's New Nightmare. If you've seen it.
Haven't.
Yeah, Freddy Krueger.
I suppose it's... not really, to be honest with you. Mm. Is Wes Craven... Did he do Nightmare on...
Elm Street, yeah.
Right.
His New Nightmare is about Freddy Krueger.
Ah.
It's a very meta movie. It's very good.
Ah, okay.
With no international.
So, domestic total?
Yeah.
9 million.
8.9!
If only there was some way to harness this into some sort of financial game.
It's like going on Jeopardy, box office.
If I was on Mastermind, my topic would be boyf of 90s and 2000s blockbusters.
We brought in your co-host here to ask you some questions. Rotten Tomatoes.
Critics.
Be honest.
83.
58%.
Oh.
Audience?
63.
73. Swing and a miss.
Okay.
Some interesting facts.
Please.
Screenwriter Michael DeLuca wrote the script in the late 1980s when he was just 22 years old.
Mm.
What were you doing at 22?
22?
Picking your fucking hole.
Yeah, but 22 in the late 80s is like 42 now. Like, you know, people had four kids by 22 in the 80s.
I find that fascinating.
I mean, yeah, it is technically the same amount of time as our 22
22, years. Like, anyway, he was working at New Line at the time, New Line Cinema. Who
I know what it is.
Okay. And his first choice to direct was John Carpenter, who initially passed on the project, going on to direct They Live. Ever heard of it?
I've heard of it.
You like it?
Not really.
Okay.
That was the one, the thumbnail's like he's got like creepy eyes or whatever. Yeah,
not this
he wears
year.
The glasses or something.
It's the whole Jimmy Timmy fight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In South Park. And Memoirs of an Invisible Man. Both were commercial failures.
Right.
Memoirs of an Invisible Man was such an unpleasant experience, particularly working with Chevy Chase.
Join the club.
That Carpenter had become severely disillusioned with filmmaking progress in general and considered hanging it up.
Wow.
But by the time 1994 rolled around and he was in need of a project, De Luca, who was now head of New Line Cinema, he'd worked his way up, offered Carpenter the chance to direct. And he signed off.
Look who comes crawling back.
Well, he's like also like,
after your two flops, Carpenter.
No, I think because there was two other directors attached to it and they couldn't get it to work. And he was willing to wait because he wanted Carpenter. Now he's the boss. He's like, I can green light my own shit. Yeah.
Right.
So he got Carpenter on board. And Carpenter said he would agree to do it only if he could have a pass at the script himself and give it a little polish.
Okay.
The Carpenter has referred to this film as the third in his Apocalypse trilogy. The Thing, Prince of Darkness, and this one.
Mm.
Have you seen The Thing?
No. How long is The Thing?
It's like 145. Like, I was good at it was under 100 because like that would have been nailed on.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
It's my favorite horror movie ever. Like.
Oh, should have just chewed on.
Oh, it's 100
by the minutes. By the time I realised I've been duped, I went, there's only 5 minutes left. I'd have been fine with it.
De Luca had claimed he had written the script trying to come up with an antagonist that was the amalgamation of three famous authors. He had the imagery of H.P. Lovecraft, you know, tentacle monsters, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The success and celebrity of Stephen King, mm-hmm. which they mentioned various times in this
mm-hmm.
movie,
mm-hmm.
and had the effect on some of his readers as L. Ron Hubbard.
Ah, well.
The whole Scientology crazies.
Of course.
And finally, De Luca was president of New Line... Wait till you hear this. He was president of New Line Cinema up until 1998, when at an Oscar party of Arnold Rifkin... who was the president of the William Morris Howard Agency. So, like, that's big talent agency.
Right.
He got a blowjob in the middle of the party. Just had a, like, pulled his trousers down.
De Luca
did. And, like, people just were, like, leaving the room. And Rifkin has stated that he had to like throw the chair out and burn it.
He'll never work in this town again.
The funny thing, he's like back now. I was speaking of Social Network. He had a 3-year run where he's like producer on The Social Network, producer on Moneyball, producer on Captain Phillips, like three Oscar nominees in a row. He bought the rights independently to 50 Shades of Grey and made a fucking shit ton. Like he just. You're never cancelled. You know what I mean?
Good guys do succeed. My God.
I think that's just a great.
What a
great tidbit. Like,
that is great, boy.
Oh, I could read a book on all this shit. Like, I have.
Several.
Yeah. Andy, hit me with your thoughts on the movie. No! Andy!
It was stupid.
Andy!
It was so fucking stupid. Stupid thing. This movie,
we're gonna have to dig into this.
This movie belongs on. This movie only belongs on at 12:30 at night on ITV or Channel 4.
Yeah,
and not. Mm-hmm. I can't believe cinemas were stupid enough to show this in a. This has TV movie written all over.
I actually don't think so. I think this has 90s mid-budget thriller. All over it.
I'll tell you this. This was the most 80s, 90s movie
I
have ever seen. Was that on purpose?
Probably. Carpenter's 90s, like, this is his last good movie, I would say. Yeah. Unless did you ever see John Carpenter's Vampires with James Woods?
I don't know if I'm that familiar with any John Carpenter.
Halloween.
Movies. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's really dining off that then, isn't he? Like,
I mean, you make the greatest slasher film of all time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. Yeah. You've been dying off that.
Yeah. And like he literally says, every time they make a Halloween movie, he's like, yeah, I don't give a shit. They pay me. Because he owns the whatever, the image rights or the name.
Oh, right, right.
So it's like, he's like, yeah, they can make as many crappy ones as they want. I get paid. It's great.
Mm. I think this one, though, is just... You know,
I thought you'd like this. This is what
I can't believe.
You're into all this, like.
No, this was too stupid. Like, this was so fucking stupid.
Why?
It was just.
Why?
It was one of those movies, unfortunately, where I'd reached about 40 minutes in, and then my brain was just. No, and now it's all stupid. That's stupid. This is stupid. I'm not really paying that much attention.
Because it is all wind up, and then it, like, everything gets fucking. Bug nuts by the end.
It does
like.
It gets too bug nuts. Like it's
that's cool. There's so many cool shit in this movie.
I can't believe that Sam Neill did Jurassic Park the year before this.
Yeah,
and now he's already a year later reduced.
It's not reduced. He chose to do this. He was in Memoirs of an Invisible Man as like
right.
The
so Jurassic Park is really the anomaly in his career trajectory.
Pretty much like yeah, like but. He was in The Omen 3. Like, he's always been a good, steady actor. That was the whole thing with Jurassic Park, where originally it was going to be Harrison Ford and Sean Connery were going to be Grant and Hammond. And then Spielberg was...
Harrison Ford was going to be Sam Neill's character and Sean Connery was going to be... Okay.
And then he...
Yeah, I prefer the people who they've gone with.
Because he was like, what am I thinking? The dinosaurs... are the star of the movie, not people. I just need to get good actors in.
Richard Attenborough was fairly...
Yeah, but he's like, he's not a big star, you know? Yeah, I mean, like Sean Connery is
Sean
a
Connery
huge star.
Sean Connery would have ruined that role.
It would have been far too hammy, you know what I mean? Like,
I really hate that man.
Yeah, he couldn't pull off that withering, like...
No.
He'd be like, give me a shotgun, I'm going out to kill them.
Yeah, you know?
Nothing about this worked.
Some of the visuals were very good. Like the actual literal scenery was very good. It was a very sort of deliberately strange, ethereal sort of
the asylum that he's in at the start. It's like pure white out the front. John Glover, being great,
yeah,
as always. And then they bring him to like literally. It's a castle dungeon.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, in the cell.
Get in there.
Yeah.
I thought it was just a little bit hammy. I thought that the acting in this movie is terrible.
I don't agree.
Terry, now, before I lose my mind, tell me there is some bit of trivia about this. I felt like everyone in this movie, except Sam Neill, was dubbed.
There was a lot of ADR.
The girl, the female character, every time she opened her mouth, it did not look like she was talking.
Not every
at
time,
all.
But there, I noticed ADR with her.
What is that? ADR,
additional dialogue recording.
So
like it didn't pick it up.
So they fucked it up on
didn't
set.
Pick it up on mic or whatever on set. So she comes in and records her line.
It was
again.
So obvious, and it took me so out of it. And a few people. It wasn't just her.
Well, your man from Ghostbusters as well.
Viggo.
Yeah.
That was the biggest eye-opener.
Oh, my God.
I was like, oh, it's the first time I've ever seen someone from one of my favorite movies like that, like Viggo the Carpathian.
Yeah.
It was one of the characters. I mean, like, terrible actor. Yeah.
But
he just
had
weird, the... He has the
weird
look.
Aura. Like, he's got the look. So, like, if you haven't seen the movie and...
That's what I'm conscious of as well. I'm pretty sure maybe three people will have seen this, so I don't want to get too... You know what I mean?
Let's do the plot. The plot is Sam Neill...
Yeah, please. Tell me.
So, like, the start is Sam Neill is in an insane asylum.
Mm-hmm.
And... Everybody talks about it getting pretty bad out there and all this weird stuff happening. And there's some... I love this. As it's like some guy shows up and is like, must be pretty bad if they're bringing you in.
Yeah.
And like he comes and meets Sam Neill.
I like that character, guy from the insane asylum. Like,
yeah, John Glover.
Well, that's John Glover. Yeah, okay, yeah.
And he's like... he brings him in and it was like... Basically, he's like, I know that you're not insane, he's saying to Sam Neill.
Yeah.
Because Sam Neill is like drawing shit all over his face and all. He's like, because you want to stay in here because it's after getting so bad outside. And he's like, tell me, like, Sam's like, you want to hear about my them, don't you? There's always an us or an it or a them that is, you know, drove me crazy. And he tells him his whole story, which is basically he's an insurance investigator. He's a fraud investigator.
Yeah.
And there's this author, Sutter Kane, which is also a fucking deadly name.
Good name. Very good name.
He has disappeared. But people are like going crazy over his books. He's basically Stephen King, you know.
But like his books make them go crazy.
Yeah.
Basically like.
Like. At
sucks
one point,
them into the world or
at
something.
At one point some guy. No. Not yet. Like at one point somebody tries to like attack Sam Neill when he's out for lunch.
Yeah.
With an axe. And he gets shot to death. Turns out that was like his agent. That was Sutter Kane's agent.
Yeah.
Who had read his latest manuscript and gone mad. You know, like, which is great. Like, I love all this shit. Like, it's a horror movie.
Yeah, it was just too. Is this movie, would this be considered pulp?
Yeah.
So what exactly is pulp?
It's kind of,
like, deliberately over the top sort of.
That's kind of camp more.
Right,
like,
right.
Pulpy is kind of like heightened almost.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's not. Like normal, you're not under no illusions
that this is a normal environment or whatever. Yeah,
you're not watching like Mike Lee movie or something like that,
right?
So
it was very, you know, Sam Neill. I thought he was pretty good, but I couldn't get grips with his character. Like first, he's kind of, I get it, like he's kind of going more mad, but like even before he goes mad, he's going from this kind of straight laced, like, you know, slick.
Yeah.
Investigator to some sort of like goofy comedy character when he starts going on the road trip.
That I didn't understand where
I'm
he
like,
had.
Who, is this the same
he
guy?
He has a clown horn in his.
Yeah.
Like,
what?
Yeah, that bit. Yeah. And I knew he had something to say, but I've no defense of that part. Okay, I really don't.
I was like, you know, so at that point, I was like.
But like, I love that. That's probably my favorite stretch in the movie is that like the whole thing is. They figure out that Sutter Kane has like written a book called like Hobbs End, and is like, there's a real town, but it's not on any of the new maps. It's on an old map. So they go on a road trip to Hobbs End. They think he's going to be there, but then when they get there, it's like everything in Hobbs End is the way it's been written in the book.
Mm.
But on the way to Hobbs End, when she's driving the car, like Sutter Kane's editor, she's driving the car, and at one point, it's just like. A kid on a bike beside her.
Yeah.
And then she drives past him and it's again. Yeah, but he's an old man again. All that shit. Like, I thought you'd love that. Like, kind of like.
You know what? If it was done in a less kind of like.
Well.
You know what? It's that kind of movie. If I could describe it for people who haven't seen it. It's like one of those movies. You know, if someone gets like an axe to the head.
Yeah.
It's one of those movies, folks, where it's like. Bright red, thick blood.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like real
red blood.
It's that sort of like clearly a substance that's not blood-like
viscous liquid.
Yes, it's one of those sort of movies where it's just like
used to be proper country.
It was too. I was watching it. I'm like, I was checking the year. I'm like, when was this out? Like
1994,
1981.
But 1994, so it was probably made.
So it was written in the '80s by this 22-year-old, and clearly they did not deviate at all from vibe.
I mean, Carpenter's like his big, you know, era is the '80s. So you know,
it was very eighties. And I'll be honest with you, I couldn't even tell you the plot.
Well, the plot is,
I stopped looking at this movie for about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was lost. Completely lost.
The plot is when he gets there, he's like, he's reality. It's like, what's reality? What's not reality?
Yeah.
The whole concept of like, your man says to him like, yeah, your reality is your reality because like you're sane and everybody else, you know, the insane people are out there. But what if they outnumbered you?
Yeah.
Then your reality is you're actually insane. And those are the, you know, the sane people. But it gets to a point, a crescendo where the new book that Sutter Kane has written is what is going to infect everybody in the world and basically cause the end of the world.
And now it's kind of turned into a movie.
Well, the whole thing though is like Sam Neill is living out part of the the book. Like he goes to like there's a great bit where he's like, you see, they're in the hotel, and it's like, you see, there's supposed to be a big black church out there with golden baubles on top, and look, it's just a barn shed. And she's like, you haven't read it. It's at the east window. And she opens it, and it's like this big, huge fucking Tower of Doom church. And I was like, fucking yes. And like all the kids acting real weird.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she's like, this is so fucking great. It's rad. Like,
you know
the
what?
Kids to the girl where she's like, you're our mommy.
Yeah.
And she's like, huh? And she's like, it's mommy's day. Come here, mommy. Like, fucking run.
Yeah, but like, I feel like what's your man's name, the director?
John Carpenter.
I feel like if this was in someone else's hands, I feel like
it would not be good.
I think the idea of this story could have been good, better delivered. I thought he put his, it was too John Carpenter-y.
That's never a bad thing.
I think it is.
Imho.
I think.
Yeah, you're not familiar with him.
Too John Carpenter.
Oh, it's so.
You know what I mean? I know his style. Him and everyone like him. I know he's the original. But,
yeah. It's so fucking good.
I thought I appreciated that they use prosthetics and stuff instead of CGI. I definitely appreciate that. But they looked shit.
Yeah, no, but they look good. Right? They look good. Like, they look.
Some of it. Some of it. Some of it
look
good.
And, like, you know, they look visceral.
One thing did make me laugh where.
Not supposed to make you laugh.
What?
Not supposed to make you laugh.
No. But the part where, you know, where he sees your one from Happy Gilmore
his grandma.
And he's just like, go on, you old bitch. Or whatever, whatever it was. Like, no one's there. Yeah. And then you just see another room. She's like. Yeah. And all these tentacles.
Because he's not willing to accept that, like, fucked up shit is going on. He's like, I'm being scammed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very convincing.
Yeah, you know, the company is scamming me or whatever.
The one who played his...
She was great.
I thought she was terrible. She was terrible.
I thought she was
terrible
great,
actor.
Like, but
or actress. I thought actor is the appropriate one to say.
Is it not?
Well, when you and Peter McGann were saying, no, it's actress when you were here the last time.
Well, that's category.
Yeah, but sure. Yeah, but isn't it better to? Isn't it better?
No, like if
I make a special point of saying actor when my instinct is to say actress.
Yeah, but
I would like to be credited.
Like people have talked about it where they're like, we want it to be.
It's like saying comedienne instead of just comedian.
Yeah,
you know
exactly. But like,
best female actor, I think it should be at the Oscars. Okay,
why don't you write to the Academy?
I'll tell him. Yeah, and I'll tell him your movies are shit too. Anyway, sorry.
I love the aesthetic of the movie. I love there's like bits in it that I'm like, this is so fucking cool. Like he has been basically told you can leave because you can't get out of the town.
Yeah,
and your man is like, I've finished my new book. This guy Sutter Kane
didn't like him either.
He looks fucking great though, like a weird aura about him, and. He basically is like, you have to bring my manuscript back. I've written it this way. You bring my manuscript back to the mainland and you infect it. And he's like, I won't do it. And he's trying to get out of the town. And he essentially is tossed out of the town with the book in his hand.
Yeah.
And he then is like, he throws away the book, goes to stay in like a little shitty hotel. And it arrives at him. And like in between that, like he's on the bus. And he's like, the man is in his dreams. He's like, I can do anything. I'm God now.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're not God. And he's like, oh, really? He's like, didn't I tell you my favorite color is blue? And then everything is blue. Yeah, and he's like, ah! On the bus. And everybody's like, what the fuck are you doing? And then like he wakes up and everything's normal color. I'm like, I'm losing my fucking mind. What's real? What's fake? It's deadly.
Do you know what? It's a shame that came so late. Because I'll be honest, I had mentally...
Like, the whole... Everything... I was like looking at it. It was like 45 minutes left. And I was like, oh, we're at maximum coilage. And now
the coiled spring is at max.
Just going to fucking go. And like the ending, and it, like surely this meets your stick the landing.
I couldn't even tell you if it stuck the landing. And I watched it. I watched it
totally,
the whole thing.
It totally does stick the landing.
But I was kind of like I was looking at it.
Him.
You know?
What? So like, do you not think that's like tragic? Like, he's in the book. Man Sutter Kane has written him into the book.
Yeah.
and they're making a movie out of it, because
oh, and he's in the movie.
It's basically the movie you've watched. He's watching the movie,
which
is like chopped up, and he's like, yeah, laugh, and then he's like, oh, like the laugh turns into like an anguished cry, and it's like, dun, dun, dun,
dun, the fucking credits. That's something.
Yeah, it's like 90s, man.
Oh my god, this movie should have been straight to TV. I cannot believe. Like, you know, if you're watching this with like Faye beside you, she would say exactly what I'm saying.
I don't know if she would. Like,
you know, if you're watching it with anyone who wasn't a lover of cinema, should we say?
I don't know. Like, I could imagine like picking this up from Extravision and sitting down and being like, this is deadly. Like, I watched it for the first time in 2021. It was like pandemic.
Wow.
And like, I'd had like an edible. And I was like, this is the best fuck. Like, because I was like, look at all this weird fucking shit. Like, it's so good.
I did, you know, cards on the table. No, I did. Well, you know already, but I didn't.
Let's get into a rating.
Okay. Yeah. I would give it 5 out of 10. Which, and most of it is for the visuals. It looked, had a certain feel that I did like. I just thought that then it was like, I'd see something and you'd be like, you know, like, and then you see something else. Or she'd talk, she'd open her mouth and it clearly isn't her talking. I'm like, what a way to take you out of it.
She was kind of sexy though, like.
I didn't think so.
No?
I didn't think so. And, you know, bigger. Hey, I'm there, but no, she didn't.
Are you there?
No, I am right here. Are you?
Yeah. Are you?
What would you give it?
I'm going to give it an E. Yeah.
Scathing, to be honest.
I mean, it's 4-star movie, you know?
You gonna reveal your letterbox?
That's going to be a 4-star on Letterboxd.
On Monday.
Yeah. After a 9, if anything, a 9 is 4.5.
Yeah.
And a 10 is 5. Maybe 9.5, 10. It's 5.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
know,
okay, all right. So that's, who's our Ed Harris Award? Vigo?
Vigo.
Yeah.
The Carpathia. Scourge of Carpathia.
it's got to be Sam Neill, right?
Yeah, Sam Neill was the only good actor.
Charlton Heston was in it as
well.
Yeah,
he was in it, but not enough. Sam Neill, I guess. Yeah. I couldn't tell you. The line reading, if you're asking, it's like, come on, you old bitch. That made me laugh.
it's like Dennis Reynolds, like, two wars.
Two wars?
My line reading, which I thought was a lovely little, this one they snuck in there at the end, was like, because, you know, they're like, do you read Sutter Kane?
Mm.
When you're going crazy, like, that's the thing you say. And then, like,
oh, right.
When John Glover is walking your man, I was like, do you read Sutter Kane? It's like, oh, he's one of them. He's one of the crazies.
Very good.
Yeah. I loved it. I had a blast watching it.
You enjoyed it. Yeah. I'm glad. I mean, if nothing else, the fact that they're only 90 minutes. Oh, I mean, it just makes it like if this was one of those 3-hour ones or whatever, like, I'd be so furious.
I wouldn't pick,
trapped, like, arms chained to the chair, you know. But at least I watched half of it today before yesterday, and then the other half.
How'd you not do this one in one sitting? Like,
what?
How'd you not do this in one sitting?
It's a big ask, to be honest.
Yeah.
For me to watch a movie, I honestly don't have the attention span to sit still unless it's something that I've really like seeked out to watch.
Mm.
Like. It's like, and I'll be honest, a lot of it is my fault. A lot of it is my fault. Some of it's yours.
Why?
Because it gets, here's the problem. It gets to, like, Sunday. I don't watch them over the weekend because that's my time. Don't want to ruin my weekend with some bullshit movie. And no offense.
You're Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, mate.
And then, so then Monday I start thinking, okay, I got to watch this. But it's like I have to.
It's like an angel hanging over my head.
Yeah, like, I got to get this done. It's like right, I've got to get shopping. I'm gonna sit in traffic. I have to get this project done, and I have to watch this fucking movie. You know, like, it's not like I get to. I got to.
Like, 9:30, I'll be in bed by 11. Perfect.
Yeah, but that really cuts into my personal bedtime routine, which I enjoy watching.
One day,
I know. Yeah. It's on me. Yeah. But anyway,
okay.
Where can they find it? I'll tell you where they can find
good
it.
Good man.
It's on Instagram. What's so great about Pod?
Mm-hmm.
You can find us on Twitter at WSGApod.
Gonna start posting good the luck. Episodes there again.
No way. And
just do it. You've got enough cronies floating around on X.
Done with fucking social media with this podcast. I'm done. I've had it. You can tell by the tone of my voice, I'm pissed off.
Andy, don't
no engagement. I mean, no, and I know, and I don't know, so you listen right now, I'm talking to you, I know you see it. Just like it. Give me something for my effort in putting these poxy clips together. All right? I've reached a certain threshold in my social media now where it's just not good enough anymore, okay?
All right.
Seven likes.
All right.
You know?
All right. Mr. fucking
I know they're
YouTube.
All
right, just calm it down.
I know they're fucking out there.
Just calm it down. Okay? Right? Okay, that's not what I'm in it. I'm not in it for the likes. I'm in it for this.
This is the best part about it. But you know what? I would just like some sort of feedback on the pod. Mm-hmm. That's not from me and you saying.
What a
great pod that was, eh? Just like someone to say, you know what? I've been really enjoying the pod.
Anyway.
I get nothing.
You know what? You can find us over on Patreon if you are willing to pay the low, low fee of €5 a month. You get access to all our back catalogue of miniseries. What's so great about the MCU? What's so great about 90s action?
Lost about 4 fucking patrons this month. What's so cheers, great. You cunts.
What's so great about Ryan Gosling? And what's so great about Big Willy Flops, a.k.a. Will Smith's Bad Movies? I'm not looking at you. We also have a bunch of one-off episodes, just like Perfect Day, Dream Festival. We've done a bunch of top fives. We've curated playlists for one another. It's a good time over there. It's a lot of fun.
Great time.
When Andy's not super angry, it's a good time.
You get over 100 episodes in an instant.
Just like that.
And they're our best ones, let's face it.
Yeah, I don't know. I would agree. Well, I mean,
they're up there. Yeah.
It's fun. We have a lot of fun over there. We don't talk about movies as much. Well, sometimes we do.
Yeah. I don't talk about movies.
You can find me on my personal social, TerryToner22 on the Insta, or The Boy Toner on Twitter, aka X.
You can find me at Andy Camwell on most things.
You know, he's on YouTube, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Talking football.
Hey. I'll do one thing I know. It's football, huh?
So, Andy, we've only got two left.
Okay. Oh, great.
So, I'm going to give you the choice.
Okay.
Next week, you can either have A History of Violence.
Okay.
The amazing thriller starring Viggo Mortensen, Ed Harris.
Okay.
And a couple of William Hurt.
Okay.
Or you can have Trains, Planes, and Automobiles.
I want, is it Trains, Planes, or Planes, Trains?
Whatever.
I think a real movie buff would know that. I will take,
what did I say?
I will take, as you put it, Trains, Planes, and Auto Cars. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, please.
Okay.
I would like to see that one.
So we're finishing on A History of Violence.
Are we still got to do that one?
Yeah.
No, yeah, well.
We only got two left.
Whatever then.
So.
Okay, well, let's finish strong on Planes, Trains. So
Andy, you're going to love this movie.
History of Violence.
You then. Talk about sex.
Sex in it?
Two fucking amazing. Well,
ooh.
One really good and then one kind of rough one.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a fucking deadly movie.
Okay.
So next week, it's A History of Violence.
Great.
By other horror director, David Cronenberg.
Ah, pure Cronenberg.
He doesn't have all the monsters or anything in this one.
Okay, great.
Yeah, until then, guys, Andy, even though he's really angry at you, I know he has something he wants to say.
Hey, I love you. And to those people who had to leave the Patreon for whatever reason, I'm sorry I called you cunts. I think you're great.
Yeah, there you go.
If you're a fan of the pod, in whatever capacity, we appreciate you, so thank you.
Yeah, there he is. Right. Round of applause.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, okay. We'll see you next week.
Bye.